Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellefson with the Digital Education Podcast, where I get the opportunity to talk with leaders, innovators, educators, and oftentimes people that have become colleagues and friends in the work that I get to do on a regular basis. And today I'm with Matt Wheeler, who co-founded Sports Recruits in 2008. Not going to tell you a whole lot about Sports Recruits. I use it at my school a lot, and I love it. But I really want Matt to tell and share a little bit of the story. Matt, thanks for being with us. But where did Sports Recruits come from, and like, what's the background behind it?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. And you guys have been big supporters of Sports Recruits and spreading the word. And obviously, we appreciate that. But we also appreciate just how much work you put into helping your student athletes, which is the whole point of what we do every day. So you use the tool the right way, and we love to see it here in the office in New York. So we got started in 2008, and again, it's a long time ago. It's 12 years ago or so. April 1st was actually my last day in corporate America. So that was a milestone I always remember when it comes and goes. But the goal back then was simple and really the same as it is today, which is to provide the best tools possible to student athletes to manage the college search and recruiting process. And so my co-founder and I played lacrosse together at Wesleyan, which is a Division III school in Connecticut. And we had a good experience there as college athletes. We were captains together and, you know, had a lot of success on the field. But our process in year 2000 was pretty disjointed. And Chris, after working a few years, my business partner Chris, after working a few years in the city, kind of got into coaching a little bit and was helping student athletes out in 2007, and was kind of blown away that the recruiting process was still so kind of unorganized and chaotic and confusing and stressful. But 2007 was a different world than 2000 when we were getting recruited. You know, the internet was kind of a thing. Facebook was a thing. YouTube was a thing. And, you know, he pretty much, you know, sent me a long email and said, hey, we want to make a run at this and see what we can do. And so the goal then, as it is today, is to empower student athletes to pursue their dreams. And so we can get into kind of the circuitous route we've taken to maybe being on a call with someone like you. We essentially started with just student athletes, individual families signing up. And then fast forward from 2007, 2008 to 2015, we started selling into organizations and high schools. So that's how we met. And the goal there was really, you know, instead of just, you know, giving the product to one family at a time, you know, how can we get the product into as many hands as many student athletes as possible? And schools have been great because, you know, we can deploy it across an entire athletic department. Every kid can have access to the tools. So again, a lot of, I glossed over a lot of the history of the company, but ostensibly we the business now has individuals using it, just moms and dads, you know, kids coming off the street, signing up and using it. And then we have high schools like yours and club teams, travel teams that buy it for the entire club. And so our goal is just to get as many kids as possible on the platform.
So Matt, one of the questions that I've found interesting, and one of the things that really drew me to Sports Recruits, was this whole empowerment idea, right? To empower the student athlete, you know, to own and to engage in that recruiting process. You know, it's so much of my career. I've been at this, you know, about 20 years now, working with student athletes in this process. And you know, you'll see the placement, you know, organizations or the other sorts of people that will say, hey, we will place you. Why did you go for a model that is much more about empowerment and putting tools and resources in the hands of the student athlete versus this kind of traditional idea of placement?
Think about the placement idea from a high level. It makes sense in the sense that if you're a parent and this is your first kid going through the college process, and then you layer on the athletic piece, you know, it's double challenging. So if someone comes to you and says, "Hey, I'll just fix this for you. Just pay me this amount of money," which, and as you know, can be in the thousands of dollars, "and I'll just fix it for you." Let's just say they put a cherry on top and they say, "And I'll also get you a scholarship." You go, this is just too good to be true. Let me, how much, you know, I'll give you whatever amount you want. I get a scholarship, you know, So as you know, 99.9% of the times the family's left high and dry. They don't get the scholarship. They don't go to the school. So really that model just doesn't work. That's kind of that's my stance. It doesn't work. The kids that it works for, guess what? It would have worked for without the placement person because the person's a stud. They work hard in the classroom. So that model just doesn't work. And so, our perspective is that like in life, the athletes who put in the work, or the student athletes who put in the work, the families, it's a family, it's a team effort, are going to find success. And so we try to put the tools into the family's hands and say, hey, listen, all things equal, if you communicate with 50 schools and, or five schools, sorry, and your teammate communicates with 50, your teammate's going to probably have a better outcome just because they're playing the numbers game. They're working harder at it than you. And so I think that the tough thing with the placement model is, you might pay the money and kind of believe it's going to work. But what ends up happening is, you still end up doing the work anyway. And so, why not just kind of cut out that middle person and just provide the best technology to the athlete as possible.
Matt, I want to ask you a question. I didn't necessarily prep you for this. Is when you look back at, 2008, when you're starting this up and you talk with your co-founder and say, hey, let's give this a go. When you imagine sports recruits, did it look then like it does now? And then what maybe were a couple surprises that you found along the way?
I say this all the time and, it still amazes me, but in hindsight, it shouldn't have, but one of the big things that got us kind of humming in 2008, 2009 was we started writing, recruiting content. We started in just lacrosse and then we went to volleyball and in these other sports. But we started writing kind of specific content for lacrosse around, kind of the ins and outs of the recruiting process. And our thought was, well, our product isn't of much value if you don't know what the hell you're doing. It would be like if I had put a Ferrari in your car, it's a manual transmission Ferrari in your garage and said, hey, here's a Ferrari. And you say, I don't know how to drive stick. I don't even know how to, I don't drive a car. And so we started writing content because we figured, all right, well, if we just get this content out in the world, what'll happen is it'll kind of seep down into hopefully younger and younger kids so that by the time they get to us in, 9th grade, 10th grade, they really know what they're doing. They're ready to get in that car and kind of pull out of the garage and, go for it. And I've realized that was wrong. They get to us just as confused and you probably have the same experience. And when I step back and look at it, it makes sense, The families have other things to worry about when the kid's in 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th grade. They're juggling all kinds of different responsibilities. So it makes sense that, they get to us kind of confused. And so that education piece still, really remains the most important part of our jobs here at Sports Recruits. We do tons of webinars and, we'll do those to look blue in the face because, while our tool is slick and easy to use and, best in class technology, all that sort of stuff. If you don't know how to use it, or if you don't know why you're using it or why it's important to do your research or why it's important to have video on your profile, if you don't know the why to a lot of these things, you're not going to get much use out of it because, you're probably not going to do the right things that we know make you successful. So I think that education piece, is something that I thought hopefully would get better. And then the kind of idea to sell into clubs and high schools, that certainly wasn't something we knew right out of the gate. We thought we would just, make a great product and families would sign up. And this is, depending on who you talk to, it could be a third rail, but I think club and travel sports have become a much bigger force in the world than they were in 2008. For instance, in lacrosse, again, I graduated in 2005. There were no lacrosse clubs until, the infancy was like maybe 07, 08. And I would say they're still in their infancy. They're still figuring things out. While in volleyball and soccer, it goes back a lot longer. But I think that we never thought we would be selling kind of enterprise software into a school and that the school would apply. That was definitely not in the business plan, but it's worked out great for us. That part of the business.
So when you think about, like, and you mentioned it, the recruiting process has changed and iterated. I mean, I think for me, you know, I look at different iterations since I went through it in the early 90s, but then, you know, and professionally too, in these different iterations. Like, what do you see as the unique nature of working with a club versus working with a school?
It's a good question. I think the schools are challenging because there's a lot more people involved traditionally. So the kind of traditional way it gets rolled out across the school is an AD buys it, and then it gets pushed out across all the different departments in the school. But then each sport is kind of running their own process, if you will. It doesn't roll up to one person. And that's why you guys have done a great job, and the little kind of cult you've kind of developed there with just, like, you know, kind of rolling it up to the top, and then, you know, however you do it, and kind of communicating down to those coaches. And so we're in the early days of schools running it like you guys do, which is, you know, educating your staff, but then having someone up top kind of keeping an eye on everything. That's very early days, but that's how clubs run it. Cause if you're running a volleyball club, if you're playing for a volleyball club that doesn't have a dedicated recruiting coordinator, you probably need to find a new club. And the clubs that are doing the best in terms of best placement, the happiest parents, the best retention, all that sort of stuff, that person isn't doing any coaching, any admin work, any, you know, other stuff. They're literally just opening up sports recruits every day, looking at the analytics, pinging different kids who have been, haven't logged in a certain amount of time or whatever. And that's their job, is to make sure that families, make sure families are staying on top of it. So it'll take time, I think, for the high schools to run it like a fine oiled club. But we've seen schools like yours do that, and that's been encouraging. And it makes sense to us. But you know, as you know, things move a little slower inside of kind of higher education institutions than maybe we might like.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, even as fast as we can move at our school, it doesn't go as fast as we'd like. And you do see the value of that at the club, that you do have one coach or one leader who then, you know, the dissemination comes from them. Let me ask you one last question, because I'm kind of interested in this, you know, in sports recruits, in what you're doing and how it works. But you've become a national company now, right? With people working all over the United States, you have your hub in New York. But, like, what's it like to lead, you know, from a place in a fairly short period of time where you're leading from a central location, and then, you know, it's you're leading people from all over the place and around the country, and developing a multidimensional nature to even your own leadership?
Well, the we always like being together, and with COVID-19, we've all March 12th was the last day the majority of us were in the office in New York, and so it's been a little over a month, and so now we're really distributed. You know, some people, you know, decamp to their where their parents live, and you know, so now we actually really are all across the country. We use all these tools that are becoming mainstream so often that I don't think the transition for us has been as challenging. But the way we've ran our business as we've kind of grown our employee count is, you know, pretty kind of metrics driven, but also transparent. So if, you know, I'm, you know, somewhere not in the office and I want to see what's happening in a certain department, you know, I can go and really figure out what's going on without having to talk to anyone. As former athletes, that style I think has worked because, you know, we're used to setting goals for ourselves, metrics driven goals for ourselves, and beating them, whether it's a certain number of wins in a season, or we want to win the conference championship, or we have individual goals for whatever sport we were playing. Most of us were college athletes in the office. So, you know, trying to remove those gray areas of what is success, I think, you know, has worked out well for us.
Matt, I really appreciate it. Thanks for sharing the sports recruit story. And I always love telling people about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I guess to circle back on that, the earlier question of what surprises me is that, yeah, we're still in the early days of people believing the internet can help them with the college search and recruiting process, which is kind of mind blowing. And because literally everything else in their life happens on the internet. You know, they're finding their significant others on the internet. They're doing their banking on the internet. They're doing Zoom, you know, Easters or Passovers or whatever. And so everything's happening on the internet. And so for whatever reason, there still is a bit of a misconception that, you know, everything happens at that recruiting event you go to, where right now there are no recruiting events. There are no high school games. So we've never seen more engagement. March broke all records. So it's been interesting that it took a pandemic to get people to the light bulb to go off and go, wow, this internet thing really is efficient. It's a really easy way to get my information video to, you know, the coach I want to go play for, instead of, you know, hoping that coach happens to be at the event I go to and happens to be on my sideline when I make that play. And so, you know, some good like energy has come out of people realizing that, you know, they can kind of take control of this process and they don't have to leave it to chance by just going from recruiting event to recruiting event to recruiting event.
Well, Matt, you know, just as we close up, and I appreciate that, because that's one of the things I've appreciated most. You kind of use that, we use the term empower, right? To empower student athletes. And that, like you talk about engage, and then to put yourself in that position of control, and to learn, you know, how to place yourself in a position to discover your opportunities and discover what is out there for you. And so thank you for sharing, and thank you for just telling us a little bit more about Sports Recruits.
Thanks for having me.